Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here he goes. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what you want. I'm going to make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the cracker later?
Freeze.
What's going on, everybody? It's a beautiful Thursday night, and this is the Zen Man reporting live for another edition of the Sonoma Sports Wrap on Ship to Shore Radio. And yeah, I've been really, really, really busy the last week. Just to put you guys into my perspective before I talk a little bit about sports, you know, I'm just started back up with college again. I'm on my last semester, so. You know, I'm pretty busy with 6 classes, about 40 plus hours of work. And I am currently fighting sickness a little bit. I feel fine, lightheaded a lot, coughing uncontrollably. I bought cough drops yesterday and literally have maybe 5 left, and it's not working. I'm taking liquid, it's nothing's working. But I'm just going to talk a little bit of sports, just quick news. Thunder's guard Russell Westbrook has signed a contract extension 5 years for $80 million. A lot of talk about that. They were talking about the deal that he might possibly get. A big max contract would be about close to $90 with 5 years. A smaller deal, maybe around $55. And he got pretty much the max deal. I mean, it's roughly about, 17, 18 a year. So that's not bad at all. So big contract for him. Thunder put out the money. It's crazy how a team like that is going so good. Draft picks, obviously, are the main reason with Durant and Westbrook. It's only 2 players. I know that the rest of the team's playing strong, too, but those two are superstars, and they know how to play together. So Thunder obviously off to a really good start this season. And we'll talk about the NBA later. Also, no top plays tonight. But we will talk about the NFL playoffs and how crazy it is becoming. And personally, I can't wait to watch them this weekend. And, I know I'm a nerd about sports, but I say I love it. And just other news really quickly, more Pacquiao Mayweather news. Apparently, Mayweather called Manny Pacquiao personally, talking to him about the fight. Mayweather, I talked about this last week and I think the week before about Mayweather wanting this fight really bad. And yeah, he really wants this fight. And I guess Pacquiao, I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to sit here and get inside the head of Pacquiao, but I don't know why. Pacquiao didn't shine down or didn't back down from it. I'm just finding it real quick just to get the exact day. I believe it was March 5th. May 5th. Yeah, Mayweather is very content of getting this fight on May 5th at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. Last week I told you Pacquiao wanted to wait till the new boxing ring was open. Because of the seating would be a lot more, and he wanted to get full value of the fight just economic issues. I don't know why it would matter to him. Most of the people would be watching this, you know, on TV. It wouldn't matter where it would be fought, you know. And that part, I think that's where most of the money is honestly coming from, because of the amount of people literally going to be watching this. I'm going to watch some of it, and I don't even really watch that much boxing, but even I can appreciate this fight. So I don't know what's going on, but I would say definitely this year they will fight. Eventually this is going to happen. I mean, it could be the biggest fight ever. It's so much building up to it, and it's so many years of it going on. But if you know, that's, you know, that's all I know so far. And here's what Mayweather's agent say. He said Floyd wants to fight Manny Pacquiao May 5th, and he went as far as to reach out to Manny Pacquiao personally last night. Floyd has shown more than a willingness to get this fight done. This is really, really what he wants to do and what he wants to give the fight fans. That was Leonard Ellerbe, Floyd Mayweather's advisor. So maybe I was wrong. You know, I kind of thought Floyd was one. I mean, somebody's backing down or has been backing down, or this would have happened a while ago. But to be honest with you, I don't know enough. I don't know if it's not a conspiracy, but, you know, like, I don't know if they're building up so much to get more money. I don't know. You know, I'm like, I hate saying things unless I'm 100% sure. And boxing is really not, you know, my specialty. So if you are listening and you know a lot about boxing, well, call in, give me your thoughts. Who's responsible for this fight not going down? I don't know anymore. It seems like Floyd's, honestly, I've kind of given him shit the last year. Not knowing too much about the deal, but it just seems like now that Floyd definitely is ready to go. So we'll see what happens. May 5th is his ideal date. Last week I said Pacquiao would like to do it at the end of May, so it seems like they both want to fight. I'm a little iffy on Pacquiao's reasoning for that. But he did give his own sort of date, so it seems like it'll be done, and I honestly definitely you know, excited about the possibility of the fighting. Let's just move on though to other news. I guess we can talk a little bit about the NBA right now. You know, the Heat, as of the last show, have been up and down, obviously 7 days. They had a little bit of a stretch there where they weren't playing too hot. Last week was my first week of school, and not that I'm not used to school, but I am definitely not used to waking up really early. I go to FIU, Florida International University. I'm sure you guys all know that by now due to, you know, a lot of talk about them, the Panthers themselves, and the playoffs or the bowl games. But I live on the South Campus. There's two main campuses, and I do all my classes at the North one, which is about an hour away. Long story short, all my classes are basically 8 a.m. on the North Campus, so I'm up around 6:30 in the morning, 4 days out of the week. And it's, you know, not that I'm not getting used to it, but I wasn't used to it the first week, and during that first week, the Heat decided to play in the West Coast. So at minimum, their games were getting over at like 1 o'clock. But on top of that, they were in overtime and they lost 3 games in a row on the West Coast. So it wasn't looking too good. They were actually third in the division last week, but they played tonight. They won 2 straight. They played at home the last 2 games and won both. 2 nights ago, facing the Spurs, the Heat won decisively, and today, honestly, they handled the Lakers pretty good. So the Heat get another victory tonight against the Lakers. Obviously, it's a good game. So the Heat are now 10-4. They are still second in the division, only by a half game. So everything's looking good for them. Orlando 10-4 as well. They're actually a surprise team for me. You know, this, I don't know if their team really got any better from last year as far as personnel. I think the main factor here is Ryan Anderson. You know, we all know, I mean, Dwight's done his thing ever since he's been in the league, and the supporting cast hasn't really changed much. Hito Turkoglu's back. They still have J.J. Redick, Jameer Nelson. But Ryan Anderson is really stepping up this year. He's really, he's used his – I mean, he's just a tall white guy, and he can shoot, but he's really showing a lot of confidence and actually taking over. And Dwight hasn't really had another leader, another scorer on his team. And, I'm not saying Dwight isn't great. Obviously he is, but, even a great game for him is 30 points, but that's only 30 points. He's still got to come up with the other 70 to win games. And now they have another guy who can put up some points as well. So good for him. He's having actually a really, probably his best season as far, number-wise this year. He's having a huge game. I believe he had another 20-20 game last night. He said it was like his 36th of his career. That's just retarded. Not like a surprise. You know who he is, but still phenomenal. So that's how the Southeast Division is looking in the Eastern Conference. Atlanta 11-4 leading. Miami and Orlando by a half game. They are 10-4 each. Charlotte and Washington are both struggling big time. 5 wins combined. So it looks for them to have just bad seasons. Charlotte not looking terrible as a team. For a team that literally has nobody, it's strange. I actually do have a Charlotte player on my fantasy team. He's actually the best fantasy player I have is DJ Augustine. And he's actually really, really good. He's got a lot of points. Before the season started, nobody really knew who he was. And the whole team, this is such a young team. Even though they've won 3 games all season, I think Charlotte is going to be – I think they're kind of like the Carolina Panthers of this year, a team that really had nothing going for them. Even though they only won like 6 games, they still look good. Going to the Central Division, it should end up being Chicago all the way. They currently have a 2.5 game lead over Indiana at 13-3. Detroit, not looking good. Cleveland, Milwaukee, under 500. Indiana, looking okay. They're probably on the way to the playoffs at 9-4. Hansborough is doing good for them. And let's talk about the Atlantic Conference. This is a very, very interesting conference. Featuring New York and Boston, the two teams talked about, entering the season as, who's going to – it wasn't even a question. Who's going to win this division, and it just actually reached my memory. I remember, I think it was on ESPN.com, and I was checking out. They had a page, and they had all the I think they had probably all the ESPN analysts, and they all had their pick to see who would win this Atlantic Conference. I think, say out of 50, there was like 49 that were either New York or Boston, and then one guy had Philadelphia, and it's not looking so crazy. Philadelphia's 10-4. They have a 4-game lead over New York, 4.5 lead over Boston. Boston just 5-8 this year, not doing good. Rondo just got hurt. He should be out a couple games. So the team's just looking aged. That's what I'm seeing a lot this year, and it's hard to watch. Kobe actually is looking better than I thought. He actually got his knees rehabilitated. I don't know exactly what they did. I think they did it. Took some. I just know that he went overseas to get his knees checked out and really looked at by a specialist. And they did something I can't at the top of my head think of what it was. But he looks really good this year. I'll give him that much. He's had a great year so far. And there's so many older guys, and I think it has a lot to do with just the quick start to the season. And, basketball's a very athletic built sport. You're running up and down, and it's a lot out of you, especially for our superstars that we're expecting to be ready. It's just taking a lot of these guys a minute. Dirk Nowitzki, he's getting back into shape. Paul Pierce, pretty much the Celtics, the whole team. And let's also the Spurs with Duncan and Parker, it's just been a weird season, but I'm not used to the lockout ways, obviously, but so We'll see how it ends up. In the Western Conference, as I suspected, OKC taking care of business. They're 12-3, leading the Northwest Division by 2 games over Utah. Utah looking surprisingly good at 9-4. Denver right behind them at 10-5. Really, the whole Northwest Conference, not bad. Portland 8-6. They've lost. They're 5-5 in the last 10, but they started out pretty good. I see them making the playoffs. Minnesota is going to be right there on the edge. I don't know. I think they have it. They have a lot of good young players. Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio. I like that team, and I think they got it going for them. 6-8 so far, but you know, there's a lot of games they have to play. So I think they make their way to the playoffs. In the Pacific, Clippers. Only 8 wins, but they lead that division. Well, they're tied with the Lakers. Lakers have actually played 4 more games than the Clippers have. I guess they technically have a tied record percentage-wise. Clippers better, 8-4. Lakers 10-6. And then past that, Phoenix, Golden State, and Sacramento all 5 wins apiece. Phoenix, I don't know where they're going to end up this year. Had a bad year last year. Steve Nash still looking good, but I'm questioning their supporting cast. I don't know what they're going to do. And San Antonio, surprisingly, taking care of business, 10-5, without Ginobili. He had broken his hand earlier this year, and he was projected to be out a month and a half, which is a lot. It's a lot in this season. Not only does it that 30, I mean, 2 months in a normal season, that's still a lot of games, might be 20 games, but that's only 20% of the season. Not only is that going to be more games because all the games are more condensed or compacted, I guess. If you're out 2 months, that's honestly maybe 30 or 40, yeah, we'll say 35 games, but then that also ends up being half the season because it's only 66 games. But Spurs are still winning games. So look for them to actually might be a threat, because if they make it to the playoffs, which they're, you know, well on their way to doing so, Ginobili's going to be pretty healthy and fresh. So just a thing to look out for. I told you guys coming into the season that if any of these older teams wanted to make one final run, it would have to be in a season like this, only because a shortened season benefits older teams. You know, these guys are going to be in better shape come playoff time because they're not playing 81 games, 82 games. They're playing, you know, 65, 66. So it's not just a thought, but I still think it's the Heat's year. But I am worried a little bit about Chicago, although we took care of them in the playoffs. And I think that there's really no differences in either team player-wise. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't take care of them this year. But Oklahoma City, definitely a threat, but I think the Heat will take care of them. But enough of this biased Heat talk. Let's move on to my next segment. And like I've been talking about a little bit, I do want to talk about the NHL a little bit more. Just enough out of my show. It is a main sport. I mean, there's 4 main sports, you know, in America. That is NBA, MLB, NFL, and honestly, NHL is just not a huge favorite, I guess, but it is popular. And, you know, they have a full league and everything, so even I don't know what's going on until I do the show. Like I said, I'm honestly not a hockey fan, but I have respect for it. So just really quick, you know, I like to run down the standings. Top of the Eastern Conference, really quick. The 3 division leaders are the Rangers, the Bruins, and the Capitals. Rangers top of the Eastern Conference with 62 points, Bruins with 61, and the Capitals with 52. And I am upset about that Capitals record because that 3 spot has been held by Florida for a while now. But sadly, they're not, which is kind of saddening because that happens sometimes in any sport. The top 3 spots usually occupied by the 3 division leaders, just the way that it's run out. No matter what your record is, if you're leading your division, you get that 3rd spot, you know, a minimum. As you see, Florida's same record as Washington, but Washington, I guess, well, you know, Washington has a tiebreaker, so Washington gets the third spot, and Florida gets the eighth spot with the same amount of points because one has a division lead. So I would like, I mean, I get the updates on my phone so I can tell that Florida has been losing lately. And it's very upsetting to me, but I'm not a diehard Panthers fan, but I definitely root for them all the time. But they still are in the playoffs as of right now, so that's good. Hope they can get things back on track. They have an impressive year, and I would like to see them in the playoffs. Moving on to the rest of the standings, the Philadelphia Flyers, fourth at 58 points. Ottawa is at 58 as well. Fifth spot, Pittsburgh, with the struggles with the injuries with Sidney Crosby. They're 54 points this year. Still doing good at the sixth spot. Devils at 54 points in the seventh spot. Like I said, Florida caps it out with 52 points. One behind is Toronto with 51 points at the ninth spot. And looking at the Western Conference, St. Louis Blues, the Blues are number one seed with 62 points. Vancouver with 60 and San Jose with 57. The Blackhawks with 62 and number four. Detroit 61, Nashville 58, Los Angeles Kings at 55, and the Avalanche at 52. Minnesota Wild one out with 51 points, and the Stars with 50 points are on the edge of that playoff line. So that's your quick NHL update. I also want to welcome any callers who want to talk about NHL, but I want to welcome any caller. If you want to call in, talk about sports, I love arguing. And, I'll agree with you if I feel that I need to, but, you know, I like to argue a lot. And the number to call in is 347-215-9420. And, yeah, like I said last week, my new job at Sports Fanatic is full of arguing. And it's with employees and customers. It's nonstop, but it's fun. I can't say that I don't enjoy it, but I guess it does get a little overwhelming sometimes. But let's move on really quick. I guess I don't know if I'm going to go for a whole hour today. I'm feeling better than I thought I would. Like I said, I was coughing all crazy last 3 days. Nothing I could do to stop it. Nothing was working. And obviously, I didn't want to be on the show if I was coughing, but I guess the sports talk and the last cough drop really – it's soothing my throat a little bit, so I'm good. And let's quickly just get into last week's NFL scores. I know. Usually I get that second half, but like I said, probably not an hour long today. It might go about 45 minutes. I do have to be up early, and I have been having another show on this. If you guys have been paying attention, I have another show Saturday nights now. I will be just for the remainder of the playoffs. I've been welcoming my temporary co-host, Evil Rob. And, it's been a cool show to talk about football. But if you didn't hear, I didn't really talk about the last two games, obviously, because my show was on Saturday night. But let's start off with last week's scores. Saints 49ers ended up being probably the best game of the weekend. Just a crazy, crazy game. It's, you always... In a good game, you see like probably one game-winning play. And you're like, all right, that's what won it. You saw that play about three or four times here in the fourth quarter because you constantly thought somebody just won the game. But there must have been obviously, I can pull it up right now and tell you the exact stats. Just to give you an idea how the fourth quarter went. Three total points scored by either team. 3 points in the third quarter. Well, I guess the NFL.com said I put a giant ad in front of that. So I believe it was 34 points total scored in the fourth quarter by the teams. Just a crazy, crazy game. Just to break down the stats for you. For New Orleans, no surprise. Well, it is kind of surprising because it was San Fran in San Francisco with that defense. But Drew Brees said, I don't care. I'm going to throw for 40 completions of 462 yards with four touchdowns. They had two picks, but that's... You know, you'll live with that if he's giving you the other numbers. But, 34 points in the fourth quarter for both teams combined. Just a crazy, crazy ending. I think really it was a battle. I mean, it was a battle of the tight ends, honestly. You had two fantastic tight ends. They put on a show, Vernon Davis and Jimmy Graham. Just a great, great game by them. Both came up really clutch. Hats off to Vernon Davis, what he did. I really thought it was over after that last touchdown by the Saints, and they gave Alex Smith, I think, a minute to end up scoring a touchdown. And, Vernon Davis ended up, well, he ended up with a 49. Well, he had a 50-yard catch, and that brought him into field goal range. And then he ended up catching one with about 10 seconds left in the end zone to win the game. Vernon Davis, 7 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns. And on the other side, like I said, Jimmy Graham had 100 yards as well. 300-yard receivers for the Saints. Sproles had 118 yards, and Colston had 136. And crazy stats for them. But it's the most interesting part of this game to me is that there was talk about how is this game going to go, and I've been saying it. In my opinion, I didn't think that this is going to be the 49ers' year. And there's no way that I would be surprised if they, you know, went all the way and won. Let's face it, they have a great defense, and it really does win championships. I just thought in a year like this, an offense is going to win the championship. And it was more believable to me to see another team put up big numbers against that defense than themselves putting up big numbers offensively. Because I thought that they were a little offensively challenged, I guess is a good way to put it. A lot of field goals kicked this year. I mean, so many that David Akers actually broke the NFL record for most field goals made in the season. And I know he's a good kicker, but that wasn't because he was so accurate. It was more they just had so many field goals because they couldn't put it in the end zone. And I know Frank Gore is a great running back. But this ended up being New Orleans played this game perfectly. Like this was how they wanted it, a high-scoring game. And for some reason, the 49ers decided to go and put up 36 themselves. So I thought that was crazy that they put up so many points. And it's a great game. I ended up working, I guess, during all these games. So I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Because, I do have the games on at work. I don't just, sit down and watch them. I have to worry a little bit. I definitely at least get to watch it, so it's not too bad. But, yeah. Crazy game, and 49ers move on to the NFC Championship. And who are they playing? Well, it was going to be either the Packers or the Giants. Now, I want to say really quickly, last show, I don't know if Evil, and it's kind of maybe it's a good thing that Evil Rob said that he thought the Giants were going to get blown out. Although it is his team, I know he can sit here and boast, but he also had a horrible prediction. So, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a really close game. Giants ended up winning pretty decisively. And the final score was 37-20 Giants. Just a crazy game. It's when you really love football and you watch it all year long, and then you see the playoffs, and you just see something like this happen, you really do appreciate it. And it's just crazy. I mean, the Packers literally, obviously it was crazy enough they lost one game. And it was just a fluke loss. Obviously, they were a lot better than the Chiefs. But, you're looking at a team that is so dominant. And the Giants looking horrible all year. And for 17 weeks, all you can talk about is how inconsistent the Giants are. Is Eli Manning elite quarterback? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God. Aaron Rodgers is so good. Oh, the Packers are unbelievable. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And this is how both teams have been all year long. And in one game, it changes. And you're sitting here wondering, is this team really beating this team? And they did. It wasn't any crazy. It was literally – it wasn't a crazy game. It wasn't like new – the Giants got lucky. It was just a solid effort. And Eli Manning just kept tearing apart that Packers secondary. 330 yards for him, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. Bradshaw did all right, 63 yards on the ground. Hakeem Nicks has really been the star of the playoffs. Last year he had over 100, I think 50 yards rushing, receiving. He had 165 this game with two touchdowns. Victor Cruz getting part of the action with 74 yards. The defense played great, holding Rodgers at 264 yards, and he had two touchdowns and one pick. And no big rusher. Starks, 43 yards, was the leader rusher for Green Bay. Rodgers did have 66, though. But, you know, for what he's capable of, it was a solid effort, and the Giants are doing exactly what they did in 07 when they had a mediocre season, and they just turned it off in the playoffs. And, you know, this is why I say Eli's an elite quarterback, is because, you know, he comes to play in big games, and he really does. You know, you shake your head, and they'll get blown out by Washington randomly in the middle of the season. You'll have three picks and no touchdowns, and you automatically assume he's a bad quarterback. Well, for the most part, he's been a pretty good quarterback in the playoffs, and that's really all that matters. So Eli doing it again. He now moves on to the NFC Championship. 49ers happy because now it goes through them. And I will put my predictions definitely before the show's over. And I have my prediction now, but that'll be the last thing I talk about. Sounds like a final thought to me. And really quickly, don't like to say when I've made a mistake. I didn't really make a mistake here. I had a great stat, though. And I, for the life of me, can't think what exactly I was going to say. But I do have another stat for you. Obviously, this is time for the Settlement Sports Wrap Stat of the Week. And a stat I'm giving you today is only one road team has won so far in the playoffs. There's been 8 games. It wasn't... I mean, the wild card round really isn't necessarily a home team has the advantage because the home teams are just the division winners. Most of the time, there's at least one better wild card team. And there was the Falcons and the Lions both had better records than the Giants in the NFC. AFC, of course, the Steelers had a much better record than the Broncos. Obviously, the home field does make it a more even playing field, obviously, even if you have a worse record, but... In the wild card round, all home teams won, and the only road team to win so far was the Giants last week. So that's kind of been the storyline for him in the playoffs. When he plays on the road, he does great, and they had to go. He won all those games on the road in 07. So you know he's got it in him. So let's continue my playoff talk, and yeah, that was the Packers-Giants game. And let's talk about the other side. No surprise here. It was the Patriots and the Broncos. Really not a surprise. I do like Tebow, and I realize that I really do like him because people are so sick of hearing about him. And I just realized that I probably hear about him 10 times more than anybody because I watch SportsCenter like all the time, and not only do I do that, I also talk about Tebow at work with customers so much because people buy stuff and ask me, do you have Tebow stuff? We actually do. We have shirts and jerseys and all that stuff, and I still somehow like him. He had a great first playoff win. He's taken his career step at a time. He took a couple steps this year, so next year we'll see what he does, but Patriots dominated. Obviously, Tom Brady, chip on his shoulder. you know, he's on his own mission. He doesn't care about Tebow steps. Brady's been here, done that. And a huge game for him. 6 touchdowns, 45-10 win for the Patriots. And it was 35-7 in the first half. That's, you know, obviously the game. So, yeah, Tom Brady moves on to the AFC Championship. Definitely a familiar place for him. And he will be at home to face the winner of the Ravens, which was the Ravens, 20-13 over the Texans. I credit the Texans, honestly. They're kind of on the same boat as the Broncos, although I think the Texans are a lot better team. But Texans, obviously new to the playoffs, this was their first year making the playoffs, and they won their first playoff game against the Bengals. And they played great, honestly. They had a chance to win this game. And I want to credit Arian Foster a lot. He was an absolute beast. And he just had a huge playoffs, a huge season. And it's just hard because, I mean, not only did he had, put it in perspective, he had 132 yards rushing against the Ravens. That's just sick. I mean, the Ravens are such a good team defensively. They don't allow rushers ever. You know, it was all the talk about who's going to have a better rushing game, Ray Rice, Arian Foster, because honestly, these are very two similar teams. Ravens is a little better on defense, but I think offensively, the edge probably goes to Houston. But Foster outdid Rice big time. Rice only 60 yards. And Andre Johnson, I mean, he doesn't need time to come back. He's injured. First two playoff games, he had over 100 yards each. And he had 111 last game. And I think really the whole problem with the Texans, not only are they a little young, they made their big step in making the playoffs this year, but their quarterback position, hopefully they get Shaw back next season. I think that's all they're missing right now is a quality quarterback. And it's not their fault. Gates did a great job for what he was asked to do, being a third string. I mean, he won his first playoff game, and he put up a fight. I mean, I've, you know, being a Dolphins fan, we played the Ravens, and they killed us. It was a total nightmare. So I know how it is to play them, especially in Baltimore. And they played great. So I just want to give, you know, just quick, you know, congratulations to the Texans. They had a great year. But let's talk about the Ravens. And I know I picked the Ravens, excuse me, the Texans to win the Super Bowl earlier in the year. But that was before the whole mess with the quarterbacks. I've been saying Ravens ever since. And I made this comparison last week. I do compare the Ravens to last year's Dallas Mavericks of the NBA. And I say that because these guys have been here, done that. This is no new territory for them, but they just haven't got over the hump. And one reason is other teams have been slightly better, and it's just been a tough road. Steelers being one of them, Patriots, obviously. But right now, I don't think there's a better team. Patriots are there, but I'll talk about the Patriots in a minute. I talked about them last week. But the Ravens have their opportunity. They're aging, too. You see right now the Mavericks are not playing. They're still good, but they're nowhere near where they were last year because of age. And they just don't look like a team that can make the playoff, win the Super Bowl now, or excuse me, the championship. And the Ravens might be on that same boat with this season. And I think that they have it in their grasp. All they have to do, they won the first game. Now they got to just win one more. They're in the Super Bowl, and they just got one more to win, and they're Super Bowl champions. It's right there at their feet, and I think next year is going to be a struggle for them because of Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, all these aged guys, and I don't know how good they're going to be. So I just think that they're in the same boat right now, and I think that they're going to take advantage of it, realize that this is a great opportunity, and finally they can win that championship. So I think they got it this year because of that defense, and I think they have a much improved offense offensive is very good and youthful, and I think the defense is still very strong and very smart. So that's my prediction. I still think the Ravens, I mean, they already moved on. They're facing, well, here's my prediction time this week. It is the Ravens at New England. And I'm not afraid to go against my predictions. I obviously had the Ravens. Well, I did have the Ravens in my playoff pool to win the Super Bowl. And I think the Ravens will win next week. I know you're all wondering, oh, the Patriots put up 45 points. How the Ravens going to match that? Well, defensively, they're going to shut them down. You look at what the Patriots obviously have improved a lot. And I know that they were already good all year, but two games that they lost, one was the Giants and one was the Steelers, and that's two very good defensive teams, and they struggle. And I think the Ravens have a much better defense than both of those guys, so I think it's going to be another struggle game. But I think it'll be a fun game to watch. Tom Brady's not going to back down from anybody, and he's still got a lot of weapons. So, I mean, it's just a Pats offense versus the defense of the Ravens, but I think, on the other hand, you should look – Don't compare last. Don't use last game between the Broncos and the Patriots to try to figure out this one, because it's not going to work. The Broncos are in a league of their own. They don't have an offense, really. And if they and when they do, it's such a unique one. You really can't compare it. Let's talk about Joe Flacco, Torrey Smith, Anquan Boldin, Ray Rice. I think that they're going to have a big game. Let's face it. When you look at the other side, where's the Ravens going to get their points from? I think it's going to be Ray Rice. Ray Rice just, you know, got accustomed to a really good defense, and now they're going to go against the Patriots who don't have a great defense. So I think it'll be a somewhat high-scoring game, but I think it favors the Ravens, and I think the Ravens win 30-25. 25 is kind of an odd number. I'll say 24. 30-24, Ravens. And let's move on to the NFC, where we have the Giants and the 49ers. Now, I know it just seems like the Giants are having a little fairy tale run, but to be honest with you, so are the 49ers, you know? They've had a fairy tale run all year. And it's hard not to think that the Giants are reminiscing from 07 and are going to do the same thing. I understand. But even though the Packers were 15-1, you could see that they really weren't a 15-1 team. I mean, one stat was giving up more yards than actually earned all year, which is just a ridiculous stat for someone who's 15-1. But it wasn't like – it was kind of surprising, but I had a feeling that's why I only predicted the Packers win by three. That was mainly because I had to pick somebody, and of course I'm going to pick the Packers, but – I just think that the 49ers will win this game. I think they proved last week, even Alex Smith proved that he can play, and he's not afraid of the playoff atmosphere. And I just think that their defense is better than the Giants' defense. Giants' defense has come up. They're one of the best in the league right now, no questions asked. But 49ers still have the best defense, and I just have to think at home, 49ers are just, they're jacked up, and they're young, and they're healthy. They're just, it's too much going for them right now, and it'll be a close game, but I think the 49ers win it. Yeah, I'm going to say they win 24-21. So that's my prediction. I know both teams put up a lot of points last week, obviously, but the Packers' defense really didn't come up that well. And obviously the Saints don't really have great defense. So both offenses will be playing against two good defenses. So 24-21 is my prediction. And with that, really quick, I guess the last thing I wanted to talk about, a little college basketball, just to give my listeners an idea what's going on. I know I'm not the best one to talk about college basketball because I'm just not a huge fan. But here are the current rankings. No, that is college football. I think everybody knows the rankings so far. College football. Here's college basketball, though. And here's the top 10, the AP top 25, excuse me. Syracuse is 19-0, so they have the top spot with 60 of the 65 for first place votes. Kentucky with 4 of those votes are 17-1, and Baylor is 17-0. Duke at number 4 at 15-2, Missouri 16-1, Ohio State 16-3, Kansas at number 7 is 14-3, North Carolina 15-3. And North Carolina, if anybody saw last week, they were number 3, I think, and got totally blown out by Florida State by, I think, 33 points. Just thought that was notable. And I just, you know, I'm not a huge Florida State fan, but it was definitely cool to see. Obviously, Florida State has always been a very athletic, fun team to watch, but they weren't even ranked. But moving on, North Carolina was number 8. Now they're number 8 with 15-3 record. Michigan State 15-3, Georgetown 14-3. And just a couple notables throughout the rest. Murray State is actually undefeated at number 12. Obviously not a big name, but I don't know. I'm sure the strength of schedule is not as high as some of these teams. But interesting, 18-0. It's only about 30 games in a season for college basketball. St. Mary's 17-2. They're in the top 25. So that's pretty cool. Creighton at 16-2. I know you get so used to college football, and some of the teams, team like Creighton or St. Mary's, if they're not even, some of these teams aren't even in D1. And if they are, they're horrible. But some of these teams, some of these colleges really have a good basketball program. So it'd be cool to watch. And the I do enjoy brackets, but maybe I should start watching the second half just to know, because I don't know if the bracket's going to be good this year, honestly. But there's at least your top 10 in the rankings and the polls in college basketball. And I want to say really quick my final thought, and I wasn't really thinking about final thought, but I guess you don't have to, because it's just whatever's on top of my mind. And my final thought is going to be this game coming up between the Ravens and the Patriots. Now, my final thought is going to be on the Patriots. I don't know what the deal is with all the hype. It's kind of cliche, I guess, to sit there and say, oh, the Patriots are going to win. They're 13-3. Look at the numbers they're putting up. All right. First of all, two things you need to look at. One is offense and defense. Okay, that's great. They're putting up maybe 35, 40 points a game. Okay, now who are they putting it up against? One, and how many points are they giving up? Now, really quickly, I want to just say that they are not having a strength. Their strength of schedule sucks. The hardest team they played this year, two hardest teams were the Giants and the Steelers. They lost them both. The rest of their teams, like I discussed last week, this might have actually been my final thought last week, but it's, you know, there's no rules against having the same thought 2 weeks in a row. And I will say that their strength of schedule sucked. I mean, if you play, first of all, every team plays six games between in their division. The Patriots played six games combined between the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. And I love the Dolphins, but, you know, let's face it, all those three teams I just mentioned really did not have a good year. And, you know, the Patriots played six of their 16 games against them. That's not a very tough schedule. And the last thing is they played the AFC West, and that division honestly was the worst division in football. Chargers, I know, had their moments, and I still think if they were in the playoffs, they could have made some damage, but they're the most inconsistent team in football. And you take the Broncos, who I know they made the playoffs, but it was in that division. And it's not something to be super proud of. They obviously had their issues with offense and defense. The Chiefs, other than the one win against the Packers, they, you know, they have a lot of work to do. And the Raiders, I mean, I know they got injuries, but my point is the whole division sucks, and that's 4 more games that the Patriots had. That's 10 other games right there against really bad teams. I believe the Patriots also played the Colts this year. I wrote it down last week, but they're 13-3. That's one more game won than the Ravens. Ravens have had a little tougher schedule. They played the Steelers twice, beat them both times. And they also played the Bengals twice, beat them both times. And, you know, I think that they're a better team. Defense, in this case, I think it's going to overcome the Pats' offense. And I just think, the Ravens are too confident right now, one. And two, Patriots just, when you get accustomed to something, it's like when you want to jump higher, you might want to wear weights on your legs. And, you know, as soon as you take them off, you might jump like 3 inches higher because you're just used to jumping. You know, weight on you. Well, the Patriots just annihilated the Broncos, but that was the Broncos, and that was the Broncos' defense. If they come out gunslinging and, you know, pass happy, and thinking they could do the same thing against the Ravens, they're in for trouble because the Ravens are on a mission. And you saw what the Mavericks did last year against the Lakers. They swept them in the Western Conference Championship. And everybody was wondering, what happened? Well, I see the same look in the Ravens' eyes. Ray Lewis, Suggs, Ed Reed. It's going to be a fun thing to watch. And I honestly don't like the Patriots. And I think it would just make my day if the Ravens just pound them and defensively. And I hope they win a lot, by a lot. And that is my prediction that they do, and they win the Super Bowl. But hopefully that happens. And, you know, I want to just say it on air that I am a Dolphins fan, but I will root for teams. Naturally, I can watch any two teams play, and I'm going to end up rooting for somebody. It's just the way I am. And in all fairness, I have been to a Ravens game in Baltimore, if you just want to know. So I'm picking the Ravens to win it all. I have a good friend in Baltimore who's a huge fan. Obviously, he's the reason I was in the game. He has two season tickets, literally as close as you can get to the field. So obviously, for his sake, I want them to win. And with that, that is another that is the end of my show. I'm surprised I went 52 minutes without coughing. It's maybe I should just stay on air for the rest of the night. I'll feel better. But I sadly do have to go. And I just want to say I will definitely have a show Saturday night to recap the game on Saturday. I should probably look to see what times these games are. Let's see, Saturday's game. Oh, I'm sorry. Both games are going to be on Sunday. First game is going to be Baltimore at New England. That'll be at 3 o'clock on CBS Sunday afternoon. And the nightcap is the Giants at the 49ers. That'll be 6:30 on Fox. So I don't know if I'll have a game on Saturday or Sunday, but there will be a game, or there will be a show either day, hopefully with Evil Rob. He seems to love talking football, so it's always fun to have him on, and it's really in-depth. And I love to have any callers. I know it's hard to get it's easy for me to get carried away, so I just want to say I'm excited about the football, but I don't want it to end. But with that, I'm just going to say thanks for listening to everybody who did, and join me next Thursday for another edition of the Southern Most Sports Prep. Join Captain Frank and Dread, Evil Rob, and Ken on Tuesday nights. I believe it's from 9 to 10:30 sometime. I don't know exactly what time it is. I think it's 9 to 10:30 on Ship Shore Radio. And they have a fabulous sports show as well. It's always good to have three people debate sports. It really brings out a lot of opinions, and it's fun to listen to. So that show is very well put together, and I enjoy listening to it every chance I get. So definitely check it out if you haven't. And with that, I'm going to say thanks for listening, and good luck to anybody left in the playoffs. And I will see you guys next week. Thank you for listening, and have a good night and a good weekend. Thanks.
am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
Breeze, in the air to center, has it done it, way back,